Information, please. Wake up, America. Time to stump the experts. This is the program in which, you remember, the dust bites the Indian. Send us questions for the right answers. Four experts guarantee to answer them correctly or pay you $5 for every question that stumps them. Each question accepted wins you $2. Our master of ceremonies is Clifton Fadiman, literary critic of the New Yorker magazine. Mr. Fadiman.
Thank you, Mr. Charles. Good evening, everybody. We have a very neat assortment of experts this evening. John Curran, sports columnist of the New York Times, has recovered from his recent bird calling, although the birds haven't, and is with us again, together with his sidekick, Franklin P. Adams, humorist of the New York Post. Known to radio audiences from coast to coast is the famous and genial tune detective and musical expert, Sigmund Spaeth, author of The Common Sense of Music and Rhythm and Weep. And to complete the team and lend it a touch of glamour, we're not so good on glamour usually, we have tonight, with the courtesy of Paramount Pictures, Basil Rathbone, stage star, screen star, opening tonight in the motion picture, If I Were King. Now, gentlemen, the simple rules are the following. I'll put the question to the entire board. If you know the answer, raise your hand. A question composed of no more than two parts must be answered by one man. But if it has more parts than that, the board may cooperate. If any part is answered wrong, we lose $5. When you hear that cash register ring, that means the questioner is getting his $5. Finally, ladies and gentlemen, remember that Information Please is an unrehearsed, unforeseeable, and perfectly catch-as-catch-can program. Okay, gentlemen, catch. Here's the first one. From Miss Priscilla T. Campbell of Worcester, Mass. Give the traditional remark or cliché made under the following circumstances. I'll give you an example. Suppose one has had a succession of mishaps, of misfortunes. The comment might be, it never rains, but it pours. Well, similarly, I'm going to read five of these, and you have to provide the proper platitudinous remarks. You have to get 4 out of 5. What remark would be made by a friend during a hot summer spell of weather? Mr. Spaeth.
Is it hot enough for you?
That would be all right. How about another one? Mr. Adams?
It's the humidity.
Yes, it is the heat. It's the humidity. Very good. I don't know why Miss Campbell calls that a friend. By a father spanking his son. A father spanking his son. Mr. Rathbone.
I only do this because it hurts me, not you.
Yes, that is approximately the classic form of that lovely phrase. This hurts me more than it hurts you, I think is what the father usually says. Don't you remember that? 3. A skeptical girl's response to a flatterer. A skeptical girl's response to a flatterer. Mr. Curran.
Oh, you tell that to all the boys.
Well, not the boys.
Well, the girls.
Yes. Common error. By a man warned against drinking too much. A man warned against drinking too much. Mr. Spaeth.
I can take it or leave it alone.
That's absolutely correct. Although I think this hurts me more than hurts you might do for that one, too, as a matter of fact.
I wouldn't admit that.
You're in a stubborn mood this evening, Mr. Spaeth. By a girl rejecting a suitor. By a girl rejecting a suitor. Mr. Adams.
I will be a sister to you.
Very good. Mr. Adams, didn't you invent a character who dealt entirely in clichés a long time ago?
Oh, I suppose so.
And who was it, Mr. Adams?
Dulcinea.
Dulce, or Dulcies, we got to call it.
I called her that for short.
It didn't take very long to get that information on Mr. Adams. Second question, from Edith Brillich of Sunnyside, Long Island. What classical compositions are suggested by the following popular songs? There are 4 of them. And we have to get 3 out of 4, and they're going to be played by the pianist after I name the titles. 1. Is that clear what popular compositions are suggested by the following popular songs? What classical compositions? I beg your pardon. 1. My Baby's Arms. Mr. Spaeth.
The Cavatina by Roth.
That's what I have here. It must be right. 2. Sweetheart. Spaeth again.
Song of the Evening Star from Tannhäuser.
Gosh, that's pretty good. All right. That's correct. The Rose of No Man's Land. Mr. Spaeth again.
The Minuet of Beethoven in G.
That's correct again. It's getting monotonous.
The masquerade.
All right, Mr. Spade.
Say the Frank Symphony.
In D minor. Very good.
It's the only one he wrote.
Mr. Spade, how do you get to know these things? Is there any secret to it?
I write books about them.
Oh, and you read your own books after?
No, right. I read my proof.
Oh, you read your proof, huh?
You probably write popular songs.
I will someday.
Third, this is from Mary G. Seiberling of Akron, Ohio. Oh, this is about Mr. Adams' favorite author, who's back again on information, please. This is from Shakespeare. You're asked to answer each of the following questions with an appropriate quotation from Shakespeare. For instance, what would you say to a long-winded boar? This is off the record. What would you say, Mr. Rathbone, to a long-winded boar from Shakespeare? Could you think of one? Mr. Kieran?
Here will be an old abusing of God's patience and the King's English.
Hey, that's very good. That's not the one I have down here.
No, but it's from a good play.
Yes, I'm sure it is. Well, that was just a sample. Brevity is the soul of wit, might do, might it not? Mm-hmm. Well, now, here we are. We have five of them, and I think I'm going to ask you to get 5 out of 5. What would you say to a man who wanted to borrow $100? Now, I don't know which of you is the most probable person to ask that question of. All right, Mr. Shearing.
Neither a borrower nor a lender be.
From?
Old Polonius, delivering a speech to his son.
Very good. That's correct. 2, what would you say to your girlfriend on handing her a box of candy? Mr. Adams.
Sweets to the sweet.
Sweets to the sweet from?
I've no idea.
Thought
I made it up.
It's a good line. It's a good line. You want
sweets to the sweet farewell. Yes. Laertes throwing the flowers into Ophelia's grave in the last act of Hamlet.
Very good, Mr. Rathbone. Thanks so much. Now, gentlemen, what would any of you say to a pickpocket? A pickpocket. Mr. Spade.
Who steals my purse steals trash.
Yes, from? You don't have to give the ascription.
I'll leave the...
All right. Do you know Mr. Rathbone by any chance?
Iago to Roderigo in the first act of the play.
Very good indeed. Very good indeed. What would a fat girl say as she stood on a scale? The only one I can think of is that famous line from Richard III, a horse, a horse. Mr. Kieran.
Oh, that this too solid flesh would melt.
That's right. Oh, there's another line I just remembered from Julius Caesar. Did you think of one, Mr. Stone?
I thought of one non-Shakespearean about folding their tents like the Arab and silently steal away.
Oh, no. I wish you hadn't remembered that. I remember a line. Isn't there a line, Mr. Rathbone, from Julius Caesar called, "Let me have men about me that are fat"? Wouldn't that do?
Yes, that would be very good, too.
5, what would you say if you spilled some gravy on your vest? Mr. Kieran.
Out. Damn spot.
That's right. 5 out of 5. Pretty good on that. The next one for Miss Rose Bigman of New York City. Bigman of New York City. You're asked to name 4 racehorses. 4 racehorses whose turf winnings have been over $300,000. That's $300,000 apiece, I suppose. That's $1,200,000. Mr. Rathbone. Where have you been?
Mr. Seabiscuit.
I beg pardon?
Seabiscuit.
That's correct. That's one. I thought you were an actor, Mr. Rathbone. Mr. Kieran?
Sunbow.
That's 2.
Farlap.
I've got that one.
Well, you missed it.
Looks like it. That's 3. Mr. Adams, did you have one?
Man of War.
No, that's wrong.
It's the only horse I ever heard of.
I know. Didn't make that much money. That's 3. I've got to save that $5, otherwise that's going to Miss Rose Bigman, who has almost got it, Mr. Spade.
Equipoise.
Equipoise would be quite correct. Of course, you gentlemen can't name the exact sums of money that each of these horses
have. Well, that farlap that you didn't have on your list, I think, won $330,000.
And 18 cents.
Yes, that's right. I remember the 18 cent part of it myself. That's 4 out of 4.
Sunbow won $380,000.
$376,744. I guess made it up. the next question. I've got to get these gentlemen down this evening. Next one from Mrs. C. Rollins Zane of Dover, Delaware. In what famous piece of music are we reminded of blacksmiths? In what famous piece of music? There are going to be 5 of these blacksmith questions. In what famous piece of music are we reminded of the blacksmiths, Mr. Adams?
Trovatore.
Yes, and what's the name of the...
The Anvil Chorus.
Yes, the Anvil Chorus. Two, who was the person in the recent news who was a former blacksmith? Oh, they're thinking on this one. You have to get them all, gentlemen. You have to get them all, otherwise Mrs. Zane gets $5. Mr. Adams.
Neville Chamberlain.
Well, I'm glad he didn't hear that.
Well, somebody like that was.
It would be Jimmy Hines. Jimmy Hines was a former blacksmith. Somebody ought to write his autobiography and call it Fame and Fortune. Let that one go. I don't care. That's one wrong. We'll hold that calf register for a moment. In mythology, who were the blacksmiths of the gods? Mr. Kieran.
Well, Vulcan was one.
Yes, in what mythology?
Well, that's in Greek.
Oh, no, it's in Rome. Roman. Vulcan in Roman mythology. And who in Greek mythology?
Well, it's the same god under a different
name.
Yeah,
the same fellow, doubling in brass. Now, what's his name? Any of you remember the name? Rather odd name. Hephaestus, wasn't that it?
Hephaestus,
yes,
that's right.
Same chap, very good. For in what painting, this is hard, in what painting do blacksmiths appear? In what painting do blacksmiths appear? I hope you give me the one I have down here because I don't know any other. Don't know that. The answer is Goya's The Forge. Goya's The Forge. Any of you gentlemen know that? They all seem to know it now. A look of intelligence has crept across their faces, flashed across Mr. Adams' face. Five, name a play or a picture featuring a female blacksmith. I thought she'd be called a blacksmistress. Play or picture featuring a female blacksmith. Don't whisper, Mr. Spate. You are not allowed to cooperate. Mr. Spate.
Is it permitted to describe the play? I can't give the title, but I remember the play.
I'll give you 10 minutes. Go ahead.
10 minutes. The play was about a woman who was a blacksmith, a very strong woman, and she also figured as a wrestler.
Yes, that's
correct. I can't give you the title of the play. It was also made into a movie.
Swing Your Lady.
Swing Your Lady.
Featuring Louise Fazenda. Well, we only got 3 out of 5 on that. It's going to cost us $5 going to Mrs. Zane. Took them up in the blacksmiths at last. All right, the next one from Hilda Green of Boston, Massachusetts. I'm going to read 2 lines of 3 famous Shakespearean soliloquies. And you'll have to give at least 2 of the lines that follow each. You see, they're going to be 3 couplets, and you have to follow each one up. First, but soft, what light through yonder window breaks? Oh, you know that one, Mr. Rathbone. It is the east, and Juliet is the sun.
Arise, fair sun, and kill the envious moon, who is already sick and pale with grief, for thou, her maid, art far more fair than she.
That's very beautiful. You ought to be an actor, Mr. Rathbone. Very good. Let's take the second one. To be or not to be, that is the question. Whether it is nobler in the mind to suffer. Do not do that.
Strings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against a sea of troubles and by opposing end them.
Seriously, it's very, very pleasant to hear Shakespeare read well, Mr. Rathbone. We're very glad to have you here this evening. Free, tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow, creeps in its petty pace from day to day. All right, Mr.
Yes,
Rathbone.
Yes, yes, and all our yesterdays have lighted fools the road to dusty death. Out, out, brief candle.
Very good. 3 out of 3. Thank you very much. The next one from Jessica Samuels of New York City. Name the opera that each of the following arias are identified with. There are going to be 5 of them, and you have to name 5 out of 5. And this is the big surprise this evening. Mr. Milton Cross, our announcer, is making his debut this evening as an opera singer. All right, Mr. Cross, will you give us the aria, Largo al Saltoso? Mr. Spade.
From The Barber of Seville.
Yes, by whom is that?
The Barber of Seville by Rossini.
Very good indeed. Il Balin. Got a very appreciative audience. But I don't know the answer. How about that, Mr. Spade?
If nobody else wants to try it, I would say from Il Trovatore.
Yes, that's quite correct.
By Verdi.
You're in fine voice, Mr. Cross. Go right ahead. The next one, Lohengrin's Narrative. That sort of gives it away. Huh?
You better put another
one. Come on, I'll answer that one myself. Would you like to sing it anyway?
No, I'm going to sing it.
Oh, I'd like to hear you. Go ahead, Mr. Clark.
Well, it's all so.
Lohengrin. And for Airy 2. Airy 2. Mr. Spade.
From Ballo in Mascara, my baby.
Give it to us in English, Mr. Spade.
The Masked Ball.
Give it to us in German. Can't do it. All right.
The Pramaska de Ball.
All right, five. Dallas to Apache.
May I have that title again, Mr.
Well, now, my Italian may not be as good as yours. Dalla sua pace, would that be right?
Dalla sua pace?
Yeah, I think so. Approximately. Perhaps you'd rather have Mr. Cross sing it again, right?
I'd love to have Mr. Cross sing it again.
Mr. Cross, you want to give us a couple of notes?
La, 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 la.
Unless you get that, Mr. Spade, Miss Samuels is going to get $5. It's been worth just about $5 to listen to Mr. Cross sing, I think.
Come get him, singer. He's my favorite announcer.
I think he's pretty good as a singer, too. That was singing you were doing, wasn't it?
That's right.
Don Giovanni is the answer, and I'm afraid that's going to cost us $5. Is that wrong, Mr. Spade?
It's perfectly correct, but frankly, I didn't place it.
Didn't place it? Well, you're not infallible, are you?
By no means.
Oh, you are.
No.
The next one, from Barbara Merritt of Springfield, Massachusetts. You're asked to give three quotations from any author at all. Mr. Adams will stick to Shakespeare. Three quotations in praise of love. In praise of love. Love, gentlemen, love. Mr. Adams.
It's love that makes the world go round.
Very good. I suppose that's in praise of it. From whom is that?
I have no idea.
Shakespeare. I have to ask two more. In praise of love. Surely you gentlemen could think of a couple of quotations in praise of love. What have you been doing all your lives? Mr. Spade.
There's a fairly recent one that goes, "'Twas love and love alone that caused King Edward to give up his throne." Very true. Sung in Trinidad by the native singers. Yes.
You're
very,
not
very popular now on a record. Oh, no.
Right. Do you want to sing it? No, no.
Something
no.
Like
all
this.
Right.
You know.
I'll accept that. Mr. Kieran.
I didn't hear what Mr. Adams said, but maybe I'm repeating it. For it is love that makes the world go round.
You certainly are repeating it. All right. That makes it perfectly clear. We've got that twice now, Mr. Adams.
My love is like red, red rose.
If you like flowers, that's okay.
I like flowers.
All right, then we'll let that in. Now, off the record, gentlemen, can you recite a line which is uncomplimentary to love? This isn't part of the question. Just thought of it, just to make things even. A line uncomplimentary to love. Mr. Rathbone, you have a line uncomplimentary to love. I'd hate to have you say it. Mr.
The world go round.
All right. Information, please, announces a loss so far of $10. Now we'll see what we can do in the second half of the program. Oh, here's a dandy. This is from Mrs. F.J. Jansen of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We're going to depart from our usual formula in this one. We want you as a quartet, I am now speaking of you as a quartet, gentlemen, to sing the first line from the chorus of the following familiar song. Now, there are going to be three or four of them. You must all be in harmony in at least three of the songs, three out of four. Now, if you are not in harmony, you're going to lose $5. Now, I am not a judge of harmony, because I've been reading books all my life, and so I'm tone deaf, which may be a good thing, as a matter of fact. I'm going to ask Mr. Milton Cross to act as judge. And the first workout for this quartet will be from Sweet Adeline. I will give you the signal. One.
Just
two.
A moment, Mr. Yeah. Madam. May I interrupt?
Oh, sure.
We should be given a chance to place the voices, that is, to assign the parts.
Go ahead, but do it quickly.
Who is the bass? Frank, you're the lowest.
Oh, he's the bass as can be.
Anybody a tenor? Jack, can you? Kieran is a tenor. Are you a good lead, Mr. Rathbone? No. We need a lead. No. I'll take either the lead or the baritone.
Make up your mind. Make up your mind.
Will you take the baritone?
Yes, the song.
Can you sing baritone?
All right.
I'll be the lead. Adams is the bass, tenor, and baritone is the rest.
Very good. Sweet Adeline.
Sweet Adeline.
How is that, Mr. Mm-hmm.
I'd like to hear a little more.
Yeah. Mr. Cross, that's where I think you're making a big mistake, but go ahead, go ahead.
Mr. Cross pitches these a bit high, being a tenor himself.
Well, we're trying to be a little unfair.
I like my Sweet Adeline in baritone key, especially after a little while.
Well, do you want to come back to Sweet Adeline's face?
I'd love to have it a little lower, and I think Mr. Rathbone might come in with that baritone.
Yes, come in with that baritone.
His speaking voice is so beautiful.
Yes, it is. It's very lovely. Very lovely.
Sweet Adeline.
Very good harmony. Well, I'll call that one bad. Now, you'll have to get the next three. The next is Down by the Old Mill Stream. Now, do you want to start that, Mr. Spade? Down by the Old Mill Stream.
Down by the old mill.
Bum, bum. They gave out.
Do you want more?
I'd like that. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Cross. Sounds just as bad to me, but Mr. Cross, all right.
Third,
Old Black Joe.
On our day when long and gay.
I'm getting used to it. All right, Mr. Clark. All right, one more. One more. I never thought this would turn out so well. Good night, ladies. I have to get this one correct.
These are all picked too high, Mr. Adam. Let's have that a little lower, please.
Let's have a little
high for Adam. Adam is taking the lead this time.
Low.
Can't sing, babe. One more now, then.
Adam is an alto. He's been an alto all his life.
Take the lead, Frank. Here we go.
Good night, ladies.
Go ahead.
Good night, ladies.
Very
good. Go ahead. Good night, ladies.
I think he spoiled it. All right, Mr. Clark. Three out of four. Very good. Now, gentlemen, you go home and practice on Sweet Adeline this evening. As a professional hater of opera, gentlemen, I'm happy to read the following question from Mr. M.C. Fuller of Brooklyn, New York. He wants to know how the following operatic heroines committed suicide. And there are five of them. Not half enough, in my opinion. One. Brunhilde from the Goethe Dämmerung. Brunhilde. Mr. Spade.
Brunhilde rode her horse into the River Rhine.
Was it the river? I thought it was the flame, not fire.
Right, into the funeral pyre, which was enveloped by the River Rhine, and therefore it was a combination of fire and water, than which there are no two surer ways of committing suicide.
Can I count on that?
All right, very good. Now, the next one is from, sounds like a labor union. It says here, CIO San from Madame Butterfly. Oh, must be Cho-Cho San. Cho-Cho San from Madame Butterfly. Mr. Spade.
Cho-Cho San committed suicide by the harakiri method.
What is that?
Stabbing herself.
Very pretty.
A knife.
Yes, very nice. Three, Aida. Aida? Any of you other gentlemen experts on suicide besides Mr. Spade? Mr. Spade? Morbid, Mr. Spade.
Aida committed suicide by joining her lover in the living tomb.
Oh, that's very nice, too. I like that.
And, nice thought.
And four, Senta from the Flying Dutchman. Senta? That's S-E-N-T-A, Mr. Spade?
Senta, as I remember it, threw herself into the sea.
Yes, that's very nice, too. And five, Tosca. This gets more and more cheerful. Mr. Rathbone.
Threw herself over a battlement.
Yes, after a lover's execution. Very good. Opera seems to have a bad effect on people, Mr. Spade.
It always has.
Very high mortality.
Yes.
The next question. This is from Mrs. S.K. Butterworth of Douglaston, New York. Give five musical terms which can also be applied to baseball. Five musical terms which can also be applied to baseball. Now, that ought to get everybody in. Five of them. Mr. Spade was the first one with his hand up.
The first would be bass.
Yes. The first would be bass, I suppose. That's very good. Next, have another. Mr. Kieran.
Second would be pitch.
Pitch is okay. Let's have another. Mr. Smith.
The third would be run.
A run? Yes, a run. Very good. That's three. I think I'm going to ask you to give a seven. Can you think of another? Mr. Spade?
The word plate is used for pianos.
That I don't know. What is it in a piano?
The plate is the metal piece. At the bottom, there's a metal plate.
Very good. You play piano yourself.
It is also the word plate is also used of phonograph records.
Yes, that's
plate
right.
Plate or platter.
Yes, very good. Yes, platter would be a
and the home plate is also known as the platter. Yes, I play a very nice game of baseball.
On the piano.
On the piano.
That's four. Let's have a couple more. I can think of a musical, I think there's a pianist who is also in baseball. Spalding would be one. Isn't there a pianist named Spalding?
Oh, violinist.
Oh, violinist, yeah. And he sells baseball. Mr. Spade.
You could use the word stick. The stick of a conductor or of a drummer.
Yes, or baton, like a high baton average.
High baton average.
That's a match. Yes, Mr. Adams.
A catch.
A catch?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a musical term?
Yes, sir.
All right. Can I give any others? Pretty good. Mr. Rathbone, did you have one?
I was asking what a catch was
in baseball?
A song.
Oh, in the song. Well, they seem to know.
It's an old English type of song.
Oh, that's right. Like a round?
Like a round or a glee. It's of that type.
It's mentioned in
Shakespeare.
Twelfth Night.
And what line?
It was only the 11th, Jack.
Well, I can't think of any other. Oh, well, battery might be one, might it not? A battery in an orchestra. Well, we've got 7 out of 5. That's pretty good. From Carl K. Bumberger, I don't know whether we have time to do this. Let's see if we can complete the following limerick. There was a young lady named Maud who was a contemptible fraud. She never was able to eat at the table.
But out in the pantry, oh Lord.
Very good. Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for tonight. Information, please, seems to have lost only $10. They did very well. Next week, we'll have Mr. Adams back with us, and together with Mr. John Kiras. And our guests of honor will be two in number, William Bonnell, motion picture editor of the Royal Telegram, and that distinguished publicist, journalist, and radio commentator, whose opinions are eagerly noted by millions of Americans, Miss Dorothy Thompson. And now, Mr. Cross, will you take the mic and remind our audience of the rules once more? Information, please, thanks you, ladies and gentlemen, and asks you to come again.
Thank you, Mr. Fadiman. We meet again next week at 8:30 for another Battle of the Public versus the Experts. Please send us questions, any number of them, with the correct answers. And don't get worried if our editorial staff changes or edits your questions slightly. Remember, $2 per question used, $5 more if the board flaps on it. All questions become the property of Information Please, and send them to Information Please, National Broadcasting Company, Radio City, New York. Until next Tuesday evening at 8:30, we bid you all good night. This is the National Broadcasting Company, RCA Building, Radio City, New York.